I'm Duncan McLeod, and this is the Tech Central Show, and our TCS is brought to you by MTN Business. You can visit them at mtnbusiness.co.za to learn more about their products and solutions, and we thank them for partnering with the show to bring you these great interviews. Now, my guest in the studio today is Kruben Pillay. Kruben is Chief Commercial Officer at a company called Data Free Technologies, and you may know their best-known product, which is the Moya messaging app. Kruben, welcome to you. Good to see you.
Thanks, Duncan.
How long have you been with Data Free now?
Joined in June, so I think I'm reaching 6 months. It's fairly new, yeah.
Okay, and I believe your background is in the telco space. I believe you've worked for both Telkom and its BCX subsidiary and Vodacom. What sort of roles did you hold in those organizations?
Since the beginning of time, it was telcos. Telkom University, we call it the University of Telkom. So pretty much started there. Project management roles, just learning the ropes of voice and data, etc. Really got into some senior roles at BCX, taking on their product portfolio in a senior capacity. Very interesting times there. And then most recently, Vodacom, I think a stint of around 5 to 6 years. I headed up product at Vodacom within their wholesale division. So good intimate understanding of their network, their commercials, which helped me to make the move to Data Free Technologies.
Yeah. Okay. So in the big corporate environments, you've jumped into a fairly nimble, more of a startup type environment. What appealed you to Data Free? Why did you decide to leave corporate?
So you're 100% correct. The big corporates, you have the safety net of the balance sheet and also the length and breadth of the big corporate. Wasn't an easy decision. One of the things that stood out for me for Data Free Technologies was their unique value proposition. They were getting into something that's not new. I mean, it's not brand new. It's been around for a long time. People have looked at it and then stepped away from it. It's very difficult. It's a very complex, specific environment to get into. And when I looked at their growth over the past 3 years, they've managed to unlock a new revenue stream that was right in front of, I would say, the majority of the M&O markets. But the risk to get into that was just way too high. I would use the analogy of a dam. I mean, Data Free Technologies figured out how to install sluice gates. Mm-hmm. Because if you make a mistake on that tech, I've seen companies go belly up very quickly because you have access to millions and millions of end subscribers. So the main reason that I joined is because I could actually see where the potential was. Well, sitting on that side. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that they didn't. I'm sure they did because they built the tech. But gave me a bit of comfort that there's opportunity. And with my tech telco
background
and all of that, and also the connections I've made over time, I made the assumption and the risk and the jump, and it's very interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So Data Free, best known, as I mentioned, for its product Moya. How is Moya doing, by the way? How many, I can't remember if you disclose active user numbers on that platform.
I'm not very close to Moya. Mm-hmm. So what they've done is they've separated the businesses, Data Free Tech, purely in reverse billing, and then the Moya app, as you know it. The numbers, I haven't actually seen them as of recent, but the team's very strong. I know they're bringing on strong brands as well. The M&Os are also interested on the app. It's become sort of a super app now. They've got very strong holdings in the LSM market they're operating in. But I think they're healthy and they're doing well, yeah.
Okay. So Data Free obviously is much more than just the Moya app. So tell us about the company. It's in the reverse billing space. What does that mean exactly?
Jeez, that word is just horrendous. Reverse bill data. I'm one of the guys that was part of that whole naming convention thing as head of product at the telcos. And what it actually does is it allows you to utilize services without airtime. And that's the simplest way I could explain it to you. And it's been around for a long time. It was originally developed for the banking sector. So banks wanted their end customers to have access to the website, I think, at the time, even if they did not have internet. Sorry, you need internet access, airtime, so on your phone. And then the banking app came about, and they needed to reverse bill the banking app. So that was kind of the niche market for it. And very rarely would you get someone from FMCG or retail to even touch it because it was very expensive. Mm. And it still is, by the way. Yeah.
Okay, interesting. All right. So who primarily are DataFree's customers? Is it the corporate space, guys who wanted to do reverse billing on for their clients, like an MVNO services customers, or is it broader than that?
So when I joined, the company was looking specifically at partnering with the big MNOs, and they've got it right with MTN. I think they're a sponsor on this show, so that's great. And MTN, I think, were pioneers in getting it to market. Mm-hmm. The customer base is, as it stands today, still niche because of the pricing pressures. So you're looking at, I think it started with betting. It's an odd place to start, but I mean, it helped one of the betting companies to move from a challenger to a leader in his sphere because no one else was doing it. In a space of, I think, 4 years.
You have to wonder if a customer can't afford to buy data, should they really be gambling? But
and I'm happy you said that.
Yeah.
That was my inclination when I joined. Is this company about providing data to those who cannot afford it? Absolutely not. I mean, that is far from the truth. What actually happens is, and the data is backing it up, is clients are very conscious on where they spend their money. So he has money to spend, but I refuse to spend it on that website. Mm-hmm. I'll bet that's fine. I mean, that's just one example. The other one would be sweeps out. And again, it's also, I mean, it's tugging at the heartstrings, but that's not the target market. Mm-hmm. What I notice, your retailers, your FMCGs are coming on board now. I can just throw out names because there's no NDA at the moment. It's just general conversation.
Sure.
If you think about, for example, 60-60, those bikes need to access the app and checkers needs to ensure that everything's happening accordingly. You open up your app, the guy's there, and then he disappears, and all of a sudden he's at your front door. Mm-hmm. What happened there? He switched off the data or whatever it may be. You got companies like TFG. They want to ensure that their employees are connected to the apps. Mm-hmm. So that ideology of he can't afford it, why would he do this? Let's think about Takealot. Why would Takealot do it? So that's being... That idea is actually moving to, we do have the available funds, but be very conscious on where we spend it. Mm-hmm. It's, if I think about $100, I mean, the cost of bread and milk, et cetera, the guy is like buying necessities. Will he then splurge on a soft drink if he couldn't afford it? Same thing happening in the data world.
Yeah. I can just imagine these grocery delivery guys. I mean, they're connected to the back end through these apps all the time, and they need connectivity because the end user customer is sitting there on his smartphone or his computer watching where this driver is. And I do it all the time. And the only way to do that is if you've got an active data connection, right?
100%. 100%. Okay. And what DataFree actually does is, let's move the pressure away from the end user. So, I mean, is the bike rider the end user? Yes, he is in that scenario. But who's benefiting? I mean, it's the retailer, the grocery outlet. Mm-hmm. And it's a budget line, basically. But there was no ability in the past to actually activate it. Mm-hmm. So, and this is just one small use case compared to what's really happening out there. Mm-hmm. Another use case is e-hailing. We're under NDA, so I cannot give out names. But effectively, what we thought was, let's just get the drivers on board because that's a driver app. Like, no, we want to get users on board as well, and we want to grow market share. And that's a different world. How do you zero rate an app for specific users? Mm-hmm. I mean, if the MNO had to do it today, it becomes everybody. You cannot control it. You cannot manage it. It's not succinct or specific to the amount of data, et cetera, et cetera. So those are the use cases that are coming forward now. Logistics, another use case. If you think about RAM and DSV and all these big guys who are using Android devices, parcel tracking, they need to log into the thing. They need to send the data back to the head office. Mm-hmm. And in the past, they've used access point names. If you're familiar with that.
APNs, yes.
Yeah.
And these are, just to explain what they are, they're literally, well, you explain to me, I'm going to butcher it. What is an APN?
So an access point name is fundamentally been around since the beginning of MNOs. Mm-hmm. It's used to build the MNO transport system to the end user. So if you go onto your phone today, everyone has it on their device. Your current access point name is allowing internet connectivity. Mm. There's an actual name there.
It's usually internet.
Yeah. Depending on the company you're with. Yeah. Now, what the MNOs figured out is we could privatize it and sell it off individually, like checkers.co.za, ram.whatever. And you then got to go into your phone and change the APN settings. Mm-hmm. There's a friction point there because you no longer have access to your standard realm of services. It's very specific in how it works. You need two devices in some cases because you've got a private one and you've got a work one. So the access point name has been around for a long time. What drew the retail market or the enterprise market to it was its security.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a closed network on the mobile network. So only those numbers were allowed and allocated to utilize it. So it made sense at the time. But times have moved on now. Security no more sits in the MNO network. It's now moved into the cloud. You've got IPsec sitting on devices. What we've done is, and I'm jumping the gun here, we effectively figured out that security doesn't have to sit in the network, in the MNO network. We've got AWS. We've got a whole host of ways to secure services before it even gets into that network. And the clever guys at Data Free Technologies figure that out. And I was surprised when I saw that because they thought it was just RBD. I was like, no, you've built a virtual APN now. You just got to figure out how to commoditize that. Not commoditize, monetize at least.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've been quoted as saying that Data Free sees a way to generating at least R1 billion. I presume that's every year. In revenue by tapping into the APN market of the telcos. Over what sort of period do you see that revenue opportunity? And where's the biggest opportunity going to come from?
So I've got to give some context.
Mm-hmm.
What's the size of that market today? The size of the market is plus a couple of billions. Obviously, I'm privy to some of those numbers from my past experience. And ideally, what I'm saying is now we are jumping into an existing market. Mm-hmm. Is it a lift and shift? Not really. So just a quick analogy. If you think about AWS, before they came along, you had to buy a box or server, find a data center, plug it in, and then you get going. Your scaling was an issue. If you needed to scale up, you needed another box. Right sizing, it was an issue. Too small. I mean, you couldn't do that. You couldn't bounce around on your data. AWS saw that. They came into the market, and now we have cloud services. If you speak to any tech guy, it's like the best thing under the sun since the beginning of time. So they've digitized that market and they're doing very well in it. So when I looked at the product that the team have built, it's called Connect. It's a virtual APN. They effectively remove the cumbersome nature of an APN and we're sitting right parallel to the MNO network. So the bits and bytes will traverse the data free network and gets back into the MNO network. So ultimately, if you want to set up an APN today with an MNO, it takes anywhere between a week plus.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm being very generous on that.
Why does it take so long?
So there is a process versus a commercial process. Let's take out the paperwork, get into the technical work. You got to then configure that naming convention onto the core network. The core network is built for internal consumption. Now you start adding on these private APNs.
Mm-hmm.
You're creating a bit of a, not a mess, but a bit of a
complexity.
Yeah. So each and every time you do that, there are steps that needs to be taken. They got to secure the network, secure the APN, ensure it's ring fenced. They use radius servers to protect it for authentication. It's not simple.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time. So that's,
you've virtualized that now.
Exactly.
Okay. So it's almost like a APN as a service that's configured, pre-configured for use by corporates. Am I describing that right?
Yeah. It's the second time I'm hearing that, APN as a service.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that resonates with the market. A lot of people are saying as a service. And yeah, it's exactly that. So what happens now is if you want to set up an APN, you don't go through that process. So, and it sounds like I'm boasting, but absolutely not. It takes minutes now. And I'm sure in the past, a lot of companies come across and say, no, we can do this in hours and minutes, et cetera. But actually what happens is because Data Free Technologies is sitting parallel, what they've done is they've set up the interconnect, the IP addresses. It's a one-time setup. So once that's done and you get an APN that needs to be set up, we are using the public APN.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to go change any settings on your phone. You don't have to do, there's no friction.
Mm-hmm.
We're securing it via VPN connections on the back of that. So you still get your security. The data is being counted. The data is being measured. Data is being secured. And then it's sent to the endpoint that you require, whether that's your corporate website or whether that's the app that needs to pick up traffic to bring it back to the end user. It sounds like, well, that sounds very simple. The complexity. We had the CTO down from Australia who explained it to me. And he went through, I'm not going to bore the audience with how it's actually done, but when he explained it to me, the risk of getting it wrong is so high. We've had guys in the past that have come into this type of business and they've tried to do it and they've ultimately double counted the traffic as well. Because behind each front end, there's not a million, but there's so much of data points. And you start counting each data point, not understanding which one is relevant here and which one is being used by a million other customers. You end up in that situation. So the complexity is there and they've figured it out. And we've spoken to a couple of MNOs. First reaction was, how do I get that? What do we need to do? But it's not all roses. There are some uphill battles that we need to get through. And the most important one is the commercials around it. Mm-hmm. Tech is great, but if you come in more expensive than, I don't know, the open market data rate, I think is 8 cents now, plus minus. If you want to sell for more than that, we can justify it with the tech. But I mean, there's a limit that the enterprise will accept. And once you pass it, then like, we'll take our chances there.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So you collect revenue as a margin on the data that is used across the system, or is it an upfront payment made by the corporates?
So our business model is a little bit of that. Yes, we aggregate the data. So it's not purely one MNO. In the past, if you wanted to switch this on, you would go to a single MNO, sign up a deal, go to the next MNO, sign up that deal, and you keep doing that. Then you got some of the smaller companies coming along and saying, let me handle those deals for you. You know, take it from me. So the model is, on an APN, you need a SIM card. You need to ship that SIM card out to the user. You need to configure that SIM card. You need to load that MSI SDN back onto the core network, and then you switch it on. You do that per an MNO. What we've said now, or what we've done, is we've sent out IP addresses to each MNO using RBD technology. Once that's done, if an enterprise either comes to us or goes to the MNO and uses our tech, I mean, our model is to sell through the MNO in any case. What happens from day one is there's no distribution, there's no shipment, there's no waiting period to get up and running. All we need is a list of the existing client base MSI SDNs, and we can switch it on. Literally in a day or so, it's switched on. So the margin we make, yes, you're correct, one on the MNO reversible data, and we also generate revenue on the actual platform. I mean, that's our core business, the tech. Mm-hmm. So we're selling the tech. Yeah.
Okay. Is anyone else in the world doing this?
So we have run some competitor analysis. Is it unique? No, RBD is not unique. Is virtual APN first of its kind? Yes. So we've looked around at APN business. The APN business has been the APN business for years.
I mean,
plus 20 years now. It's archaic. There's no innovation in that market. And the reason there's no innovation is you need buy-in from the MNO to innovate. So we effectively said, we'll sit right next to you, no problem. And we figured out how to do that with connectivity to them and utilizing them. So the short answer is VAPN, no. RBD, yes. It happens in many markets. MNOs generally do it. Mm-hmm. So we see it as a pivotal point in time now. Is it going to now shift the thinking for the enterprise market? Are we going to continue to use APNs and figure out these data sims and, you know, this cumbersome process of managing employees, or is it bring your own device? You know, what is it? What is the use case for them? And we're trying to remove the friction. We want them to go out and sell the bread and deliver the food and get the parcel to the house. Forget about the stress about all these sims and delivery, etc.
I'm imagining that friction exists in every market, though. It's not just South Africa. So I'm imagining there's a global opportunity here. Mm. Do you take the solution first into the rest of Africa and then consider global opportunities? And how do you do that?
So we've been brainstorming. Africa first, because South Africa has been a very good springboard for us.
Mm-hmm.
But Africa is not an easy continent to work on. There are nuances in each country. There's tax legislation, there's business legislation. You got to get along. Once we get all of that out of the way, what we have noticed is there's a lot of interest in markets like Singapore that's come to us. In the Middle East, a lot of the markets have looked at us, Asia, and yes, Africa. We want to start with Africa because we understand we've got good ties in Africa. Certain markets that we've looked at is Namibia, Botswana, Nigeria, Mozambique, and then up on the East Coast, Kenya, Ethiopia. So our plan is one market at a time. Because if you get this wrong, as I said in the beginning, it is a very risky business to get wrong. Because you're opening up the sluice gates. If you cannot control that, you're going to flood the town. So we're very careful in how we manage those things.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But you do see an opportunity, but you're going to be cautious.
It's massive. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then what does it mean for companies that take up these virtual APNs? Do they have full control in some sort of back-end system where they can provision this easily without having to phone you guys? How automated is it?
So we have something called the Data Free Platform. All online, all built on the AWS cloud. So it's absolutely available through the cloud. What we do is when you sign up, you have access to the platform. You have access to... So we've broken it down. You can go... different levels in your organization, different geographic locations in your organization. You can effectively build it as you see fit. The thing that it does that's useful in my view, coming from the MNO world, is its ability to cap. It's not a new technology. It exists, but you cannot do that on RBD. Very difficult. There's legislation from ICASA now on PBOs. Not sure if you're aware of that.
PBOs?
Your government organizations where they are registered as NGOs and PBOs, et cetera, that market. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure why the name's eluding me, but effectively providing...
Public benefit organizations.
That's it, yeah. Public benefit organizations. So what ICASA has said is, as part of the Spectrum deal, we now expect the MNOs to zero rate these websites. Sounds simple. MNOs can do that.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that they struggle with is and need support, and that's where we come in. It's costly to build these things. I think we've put in close to $22 million in R&D to get to where we're at. So it takes a lot of work to get here. And will an MNO want to, you know, put that type of investment in at this point? I think they're busy on other things to actually look at that. Mm-hmm. So what we can do for them and what we can do with the platform is we can zero rate all of these PBO websites for them. We can control, manage the data as well. So the legislation says it needs to be 300 megs per user per day and 2 gigs per month. That's very specific.
Wow.
Very, very specific. And if you needed to manage that, how do you do that on a reversible website? Because everyone's got access to it. This is what the tech is good at. It can get into those very, very specific environments and it can do these things. So yes, you get a platform, you get full control. You can manage down to the megabyte and timing. You can use timing as well. Some of the e-hailing guys want to lock it in with some type of promotion and unlock this. I mean, it is so flexible as well. It really is.
Great. Yeah. Sounds like you're onto a winner here, Kriben. Kriben Pillay is Chief Commercial Officer at Data Free Technologies. Thank you so much for speaking to Tech Central today.
Thanks, Duncan. Appreciate the time.